this week I had the joy of attending the closing program for the Mother's Day Out at Belchase, and the preschoolers sang so enthusiastically. They are from 2 to 4 year olds. We had, I think, 24 children that were present, and of course parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles who came to see the closing program. And they started with the song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." And they were singing on tune, and I could understand the words, and they were doing motions. He's got the whole world in his hands. And I was so impressed at what these little bitty 2-year-olds can learn. We always underestimate what they are capable of learning. But it was so sweet. And it's so wonderful to remember that God has the whole world in his hands and in his heart of unconditional love. We humans are the ones sometimes who want to divide up the world into categories and brackets and pockets and keep people in places where we think they belong. But God turned that perception of the world upside down for Peter and the Christian leaders in Jerusalem early on in the church. Peter, who was the leader now for the disciples, the apostles, was pretty sure of himself. He had found this boldness in preaching and teaching and healing people through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was no longer afraid to go out and preach publicly, even though he was put in prison, he was scorned, he was warned, everything. He kept on faithfully preaching Jesus Christ. And the Lord had performed miracles through Peter and John. So Peter was praying every day for the Lord's guidance as he was the leader helping to form this new church. And yet, when God led Peter into a different direction, Peter was shocked. Even though Peter was shocked, he still was obedient to God's direction, even though he didn't understand what was God doing or why. Peter was flexible enough to listen to God's guidance and to follow faithfully. We see people coming to Peter on a regular basis, asking for his help. People sought him for physical reasons, for healing. And they also sought him, like the case that we're going to study today, the Gentile Roman army officer. He was seeking Peter for spiritual reasons. You see, Cornelius was a Gentile. A Gentile was a person who was not born into the Jewish family of faith. A Gentile could be converted to Judaism and practice the Hebrew faith. In fact, the temple in Jerusalem had an outside court just for the Gentiles to worship. But no Gentile was ever allowed to enter the part of the temple that was reserved for the Jews. A Jewish male was circumcised as a sign of the covenant of faith between the Hebrew people and God. A Gentile convert in those days would have to be circumcised in order to practice the Jewish faith. Now, in those days, 2,000 years ago, that was not an easy thing for an adult to undergo. Cornelius was a Gentile who was a Roman soldier, but he was seeking God. He was praying when an angel appeared in his house. He was an officer in the Roman army. Remember, the Jews despised the Romans because the Romans were a foreign power who came in and took over their country. They had to pay heavy taxes to the Roman Empire so the Roman emperor could live in luxury. So there were not only national barriers to cross, but also religious barriers. The Jews considered themselves to be God's people, And the Gentiles, well, they were second best. Under normal circumstances, Peter would have had nothing to do with Cornelius. But God's love led Peter to go to the house of Cornelius, preach Jesus to them, fellowship at table with them, which was unheard of in those days for Jews. God intervened and brought these two men together. Peter was amazed. God offered the Holy Spirit to Cornelius and his family, Gentile and Roman, and invited Cornelius to become a follower of Jesus and a part of the new church. Peter just couldn't believe it. It blew his mind. God had to work overtime to convince Peter that this was God's will, what God wanted. So God gave Peter this vision while he was praying. Not once, not twice, three times he gave him this vision. The number three is very significant between Peter and God. Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times, and then Jesus asked him, "Do you love me, Peter?" three times. "Feed my sheep, tend my lambs." And now here again, three times, God has given Peter this special vision. God was very clear and used repetition to teach Peter what God wanted. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, there was a long list of foods that the Hebrew people were not supposed to eat. These foods were considered unclean, and no faithful Jew would eat them. That's why Peter said, "Nothing profane has ever entered my mouth." Shellfish, believe it or not, was on that list. They could not eat shellfish. Pigs, pork, swine, bacon was on that list. They could not eat it. So God took the animals of the world to tell Peter, "Kill and eat whatever you want. I've put it before you." But Peter refused at first. And God continued to command Peter not to call any animal unclean or unworthy. But God really wasn't talking about animals. God was talking about people. Peter didn't understand at that moment exactly what this vision meant until he met Cornelius. God was saying, "Do not call any person unclean or unworthy." God was inviting all the people of the world, the Romans, the Gentiles, the Jews, whoever, what country, whatever language they speak, "Whoever you are, come and follow Jesus." Peter wasn't ready for this. And the other disciples heard rumors about what happened with Cornelius and family. Now, isn't it amazing? They had no internet, no telephones, nothing like that. But somehow, word spread so quickly. Oh, you know what Peter did? He went to the Gentiles and ate with them. He even baptized them. Can you believe Peter did that? That word spread so fast. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, they were ready to grill him good. They put him on the hot seat, and they began to criticize him immediately. "Peter, you have broken our rules, our tradition. You went and socialized with the Gentiles and a Roman officer? How could you do this, Peter?" They were very upset. And they didn't even have all the facts yet, nor did they understand why Peter did what he did. You see, so many times leaders who take bold and courageous leadership outside of the limits of conformity, they are going to get criticized. They're going to get a lot of negative feedback. They're going to be questioned. We have to be careful as Christians to find out the facts and to seek understanding before just jumping to conclusions and assumptions and alienating people. So Peter was patient with them. He began to explain to them step by step what happened. Notice in the story that God had given Peter this vision at the same time that God was answering the prayers of Cornelius by sending an angel to his home with specific instructions, "Go ask Simon Peter to come to your house." Cornelius was guided by God to send for Peter, and Peter was guided by God to go with the men who were sent by Cornelius. All of this activity was initiated by God. And look at God's timing, down to the exact minute. Sometimes we don't realize how God is working in a situation because we don't see it yet. But God was preparing Cornelius to receive Peter's message of Christ, and God was preparing Peter to go to a Gentile Roman's home and share the story of Jesus with him. Peter probably would never have chosen that direction if it were left up to him. But to Peter's credit, he wasn't just following his own ideas. Peter was following God. He defended his actions to the other disciples in Jerusalem. Peter told him he did not feel qualified to hinder God or stop God from the direction in which God was going. After all, God sent the gift of the Holy Spirit upon this family. So who was Peter to question or criticize God's will, God's plan? After the others heard this account and calmed down, they were satisfied that Peter accomplished the will of God. Who were they to question God? Who were they to decide who would be welcome in God's church and who would be excluded? They all yielded to the Holy Spirit. In the modern church, some people still question who should be included and who should be excluded from the church. But it's clear to me, God does not show partiality or favoritism. God loves everyone and wants to invite all people to the table of Christian love through Christ. Frequently in life, bold and adventuresome people come across situations in which there is no precedent to guide them. And in such times, we're faced with two choices. We can turn around and go back to the security of what we already know and our old tried and true traditions. Or we can forge ahead and create new traditions. We love to follow our church traditions, but if they go against the will of God, like Peter's thinking about the Gentiles and the Romans, then we need to let them go once and for all. Peter was definitely breaking with tradition, but he was obeying the leadership of God's Spirit to allow the Gentiles to be baptized, to become followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. Peter understood that God's message of salvation was truly to all nations and all peoples. We cannot limit who God wants to invite into the church. Now, we may all have our own definitions today of people that we consider unclean or unworthy. However, Peter's vision is relevant for us too. We cannot call profane what God has called sacred, clean, worthy to be loved, and to be redeemed. Peter was constantly praying for God's direction in his life. And even when he was shocked by what God was asking him to do, Peter was willing to do it. He let go of those centuries-old traditions, and he obeyed God's Spirit. Peter wanted God's way of love to prevail. As the United Methodist Church wrestles with some of these issues and concerns today in our modern times, may we turn to God in prayer that God's will and God's Spirit will lead our church forward toward welcoming all people in the name of Christ, in the name of love with a capital L, the love that came down at Christmas, Jesus Christ. God offers it to us and to all people. When they held this conference in Jerusalem, they began to criticize Peter, but they didn't realize they were truly criticizing God. This was God's will. So when they understood that, they changed their minds, their attitudes, their perspective, their course, and they opened the church of Christ to everyone, including the Gentiles. They were welcomed into the family of God. So may we today be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our modern time and listen for the way that God wants the church to be inclusive of everyone. Amen.